Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show. All right, welcome to the Gym Business Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio by Zach Columbia. What's up, buddy?
Hey. You said welcome, not welcome back.
Welcome back.
You always say welcome back. It threw me off.
I didn't know I said that.
Yeah, doesn't he say welcome back?
Welcome back to the gym. Okay, my bad.
Maybe.
Should we cut and restart?
Maybe I made that up. I don't know. Now you got me questioning myself.
Let's talk about something that's kind of floating around. It's been floating around for a couple of years in the circles of the coaching clients, the Iron Circle and stuff like that. And I just want to have an open conversation about this because I can't wrap my head around how this would like go in a gym. And people are doing it right now. I'll be honest, I did not talk to anybody. I'm just like throwing this out there on this show. But the built-in price increase into somebody's membership contract. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Well, if anybody is a gym owner and a lease holder, you know that on paper, your lease goes up every year. It's usually like 3% or 2.5% or whatever, depending on what market you're in. So every year, and it's to kind of like offset the cost of doing business, the inflation, everything in the market. So every year your lease goes up 3%. And the thought is, instead of doing like price increases at some odd cadence, you just build in price increases into the member's contract. And while on paper, I think that's a genius idea. I think, you know, well, it just every year you're just kind of scaling with the inflation or the cost of doing business or the value of the dollar, however you want to look at it. But I think it yields additional issues that I don't know if anybody's figured out, maybe because it's too new or they haven't hit these things. But I just wanted to throw it out there because on paper, it sounds amazing. But in reality, is it? I don't know. So let's talk about a couple of things. So I think you guys understand what I'm saying. Somebody signs up. They're paying, I don't know, do you want to do weekly or monthly?
Weekly. $100.
All right, $99.99 a week, yep. Right? They're paying $99.99 a week. They're there for a year, and then the next year they're paying like a $102.99 or something, yep. Right? $103.
3%. Yep.
Okay? And then the next year they're paying, I don't know, do the math, $106.27. Yep. And then they're paying $110.14. And then they're paying, you know, and so like as they stay longer, their price increases 3% a year. And so far, so good. Everybody's like following along, kids. Yeah, I think that, okay, cool. Now, you've got somebody that comes in 2 years after that first client, okay? And so that first client is paying 106 something. And unless you raised the base rate to the highest level of the highest person in your gym, every year, you're going to have new people paying less than the people that have been there for a few years or for a few price raises. Okay, that's the first issue. Is that following? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so that could be an issue. I guess the way you prevent that is you do raise the base rate to all new members to something higher than the highest person. So you stay in front of it. But in order to do that, you're going to have like weird pricing, which I don't know if that's a problem or not, but you're going to have, let's just say you've got somebody paying $106.13 a week. Well, your highest better be $107. Okay, we're charging $107 a week for all new people. Then the next year, you got to be 3% higher than that, right? And so you kind of, you're moving your rates up, which I think you should do anyway.
Yep.
But you're just getting into weird numbers because you're getting into dollars and cents and you're getting into odd numbers, which I don't know if that's a problem, but it's definitely going to happen if you do this. And then the next thing is you have people coming in at all different months of the year, I would hope, right? if you're doing it right, right? Well, you're going to have people on all different cadences. Let's say you got somebody that's been there for 6 years, somebody that's been there for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. You're going to have 88 different price points.
Yeah.
So is that a problem? I don't know. You tell me. You're the one that kind of like you're in the software more recently. Is that going to be an issue if you got 15 prices for the same membership?
I believe so, because even at 200 clients, 210 clients, it's like there's still always things that are taking, people are freezing their memberships or their payment declines, and then they want to reconcile it 2 weeks later and they've already would have gotten billed, so you have to double up their payment. And then, you know, what happens if somebody, for, you know, it's just how things go. You're constantly kind of making adjustments for people because they're people, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, we got to credit you here, we got to bill you here, we get. So I can see it getting very messy, very confusing. And I wonder how much like breakage there is, how many, like how much missed revenue occurs if you have, you know, 11 different people paying 11 different prices, and just to look at that and be like, okay, where are they at? When did they start?
Seems
like
confusing, right?
It does seem confusing. And then, you know, with a lease, like you're signing a new lease agreement. You're saying, okay, hey, we're going to sign another lease agreement for the next 5 years or 7 years or whatever it is. Are people rolling into just an open agreement with a price raise? Is it a contract where you're saying, hey, I want to keep you, we love you as a member, you, we're going to raise your rate and you have to sign up for another year? I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's true. You said, yeah, it makes sense. On a lease, your 5, 7, 10 year lease is in one contract, one signature.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, here's another thing. You got somebody that's, hey, you're going to go to this new rate, but if you just cancel right now and re-sign up, you're going to be on a lower rate because we haven't raised the global rates yet. It just seems, I don't know. Like, again, yeah, this is one of those things on paper where it's like, oh yeah, man, we don't have to raise rates. It's built in. Our clients don't care. Sure. But what about all the second and third level consequences?
Well, and here, do you believe it would be better to just do a global price increase every 12 months, 18 months, 24, just built in to your kind of standard operating procedures?
Yes.
Everybody moves to this.
I like that. Now, here's the other thing, right? And this would be the case for an 18-month price raise or whatever. Let's say somebody signs up December 15th, but your pricing goes up on January 1st. So yeah, does that person get to be there for a week and then go to a higher rate? You just raise their rate in the first 2 weeks? Or do you skip them and be like, oh, well, they'll catch on the back, you know, on the back half of the, you know, of their membership.
Right. Right.
You're breaking rules all over the place.
Which you can run into with an annual agreement as well. Because like if you have somebody that's in an annual agreement and you don't have a price increase clause in your contract, let's say that person signs up in November and January 1st, you're doing it. By the way, never do a price increase January 1st. But let's just say theoretically, January 1st, you're increasing everybody's rates globally to this amount. Well, what happens to that person that's only been a member for 2 months? Are you increasing their rate or are you keeping them in their contract until they're expired
and then they go up? That's my point.
Yeah.
They've been there for 2 weeks, 2 months. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so in our agreements, I know we honored the annuals for the people that.
We had a few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also have a clause in our contract that says we can increase rates up to 20%, like the billing frequency, like their installments is the technical term you have to use, according to the banks and the credit cards and all that. So we can increase your weekly installments up to 20%, but your total payment obligation is X, meaning that they're paying off their total payment obligation faster. So the contract is not necessarily a term. The contract is a payment amount. So we say, hey, over the course of, you know, the way we're setting this up on day one is you're going to make 52 payments, hit $5,700, right? Yeah. And then we say, hey, we can increase this by up to 20% and you pay it off faster, essentially.
So it doesn't really do much for it because there's still, their term goes out to the expiration date still. So there's going to be a couple, maybe weeks or months that they're not making payments.
They still make the payments. but their contract, they fulfilled their contract, so they could cancel sooner.
Oh,
essentially.
Gosh, yeah. So again,
not the most clean thing in the world, but we also don't do price increases every year.
Yeah. So, but I will tell you this, and I said this on stage as well. There is nothing else that you can do. If you're a gym owner dedicated to delivering a better training experience than your competitors, then you already know that one of the biggest bottlenecks in your business is programming. Most gym owners are either doing it themselves or paying a team a small fortune just to keep up. That's why I want to tell you about our sponsor, Semi-Private Pro, a platform that we built out of necessity in our own gym after realizing how much time and money we were just wasting to stay on top of programming. Let me give you a couple real-world examples. Ayn Toppin, she was spending 3 hours a day on programming. After switching to Semi-Private Pro, that dropped to zero, with zero drop in quality. Scott Wilson out of Kentucky, he's paying his team 15 hours a week for programming. Now they handle it in 15 minutes, and it's actually better than before. And Elizabeth Rogers, she reclaimed her Sundays. No more weekends behind a laptop writing workouts, and her coaches are now more aligned and consistent than ever. Guys, that is what Semi-Private Pro does. It gives you a master programming system your coaches can easily follow and adjust in real time. And here's the best part. This isn't some cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all template. Thanks to Semi-Private Pro's trademark movement matrix, every client workout is customized to their goals and movement quality. So it's not just faster, it's actually more individualized, more professional, and completely scalable. So if you're tired of spending your weekends writing workouts or worse, paying your team to do it, head on over to semiprivatepro.com to learn more. That's semiprivatepro.com and reclaim your time and level up your training. To generate bottom line revenue in the six figures or higher than a price increase.
Yeah.
It just isn't. Like, there's no like magical marketing play that you can do to generate, you know, I guess, unless you're selling $30,000 packages, maybe you could, but and not lose anybody. It's like the easiest thing to do, but the hardest thing to do, right? Because you're the fear. And that's why we have these frameworks around how to do that.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's an open conversation about a 3% built in or more, right? Or it could be 1 or 5% built into the contract. Well, on paper, I think it sounds great. I think you got these second and third level consequences. And not only that, well, all the things we talked about, what about clients talking to each other? Well, I'm paying, I don't know.
For the same service.
The identical service.
Yeah,
You're working out with the same people every single day at the same time.
I don't think that won't happen.
Oh, it happens.
It happens, yeah.
So that's just one of the things that you want to keep everybody like on the same price point. The only way it works in your favor, if somebody that's been there longer is paying less than the person just starting.
That seems fair and reasonable. You know, if I'm I've been here for 10 years, you've been here for a year. Like, it makes sense.
That seems fair and reasonable. But in this equation, it's the inverse of that.
Yeah.
That somebody that stays the longer is paying higher than the newer person.
Which I still don't agree with, by the way.
No.
Because it's still identical. It's still your time.
It's like, what is the price of the service?
Yeah.
This is one of my big beefs about insurance and medical. Well, my insurance price is X, but if I pay you cash, it's Y. Like, what's the price of the service?
Yeah.
Not how I'm paying for it.
Yep.
And it's a big beef, right? Like, yep. I just don't get it. I'll go off tangent here. This is hilarious. This is our healthcare system. We're going way off. Are we going out of bounds? Are we going to go out of bounds?
Let's go.
Well, you know what? These are all gym owners, and they're gonna feel this. They're gonna understand it. So when my daughter was, I don't know, call her 5 or 6 years old, she was roughhousing in the house, and she ran to jump on the couch, but she missed it. She came up short. She hits her face, like her chest, into the front, like where your legs would rest against, and she scorpioned, right? Her heels hit her in the back of the head, and she just collapses. Like, oh my God, she broke her back. She broke her back. Guys, call 911, all this stuff. So our next door neighbor was a physical therapist. So I reached out to him. He came over. I was kind of checking her out. Hey, you better get an MRI or x-ray or something. I was like, oh, man, this sucks. It's Sunday. You know, it's like, what do we do? But there was this, like, children's emergency care clinic that was open 24 hours. So we shoot over there. And we got a referral from him as the thing. We have this insurance policy. I walk in, we can't take you. Well, I'm here right now. We can't take you because I gave him my insurance card. It's like you're supposed to do. And I get there and it's like, well, you didn't come from a referral in the network of this particular insurance plan. It's like, and I'm like looking at him, like my daughter is crying. Like, what? I got to get, as a father, you like, we got to jump on this. We got to get it fixed. So I'm looking at this lady and she's not giving me any like clues to do anything. Like, sorry, you're out of luck, chief. You're going to have to wait till you go to your primary care and then you get a referral. This could be a week. You know, it's like, so I tell the lady, I go, all right, let's just reset this. Forget I have this insurance. I'm coming in. I have cash in my pocket. Oh yeah, no problem. It's $250. We'll get you in right now. Why don't you tell me that in the first place? Right. And so like, what is the price is my point. Yeah. The service should to the business be some price point. It shouldn't matter how long you've been there. It shouldn't matter how you came in. It shouldn't matter if you have insurance or if you're paying cash, unless you as the business, okay, this would be one case, credit card fees versus cash versus ACH.
Sure.
There is a real hard cost to the business by not receiving the funds if you do a credit card. So maybe you give a discount for cash or you make them equal, but that's the price, right? I know that was completely off tangent, right? But I'm just like, that was frustrating, man. Like, what is that about? Sorry.
Well, bro.
I was like, what is that about? Cash price.
Cash. Going back to the all the different price points, you know, we do see this quite a bit. When we get a new gym and Springboard, Iron Circle, and we're like, okay, we're trying to understand your numbers. How many members do you have? What's the average price? And a lot of times they'll have so many price points that the business is just very muddy. It's unclear, like, okay, how many members do you need to paying X to make Y?
Yeah.
What is your cost per acquisition? What is your average order value? You can calculate all these things and kind of break it down into understandable numbers. Okay, we need 10 members a month.
Yeah.
10 members a month paying $99 a week or whatever. And we know we can afford to pay this. Our members stay on average this long. Here's our client lifetime value. Yeah. But if you have somebody that's paying $180 a month, and then you have somebody that's paying $550 a month, and you got somebody that's paying $620. It starts to get very unclear what needs to happen in the business in order for you to, you know, get to the level that you want to get to.
Of course.
And this happens a lot. I've seen this also very frequently within the director circle, because I'm trying to teach these directors how to track all of their members and get insight into the data of what all of it means. And one thing that I'll do is I'll drop a tracking tool on mine, like all your memberships go in here and we're going to determine what your average, you know, membership is worth.
Sure.
And they're like, well, we've got the 12X and the 3X and we got the team base and the team plus and they have these 15 different memberships, all with different price points, and they have no clue what to even put on a sheet to track.
And discounts for firefighters and first responders and teachers and the second member of the same household. And it's like, and the kid, and it's like, this one's on sessions because they're here in the summer, but not in the winter. It's like, so simplification is a strategy for success.
Yeah.
And so you start looking at all those memberships, you find out you only got two people in this one. Well, why don't you just get rid of it and put them in another one? So now we get rid of this. I won't say his name. He's in our Iron Circle. He had something like 51 price points when we first got him. And I said, what? And our only goal was to simplify that thing down into like four price points. And he did. And his life's better for it. But the reason people don't make change like that is like the fear, the conversations. And it's like, well, don't kick a sleeping dog because they haven't been in here in a while. I don't want to like upset the apple, like all the things. I see all of that. But at the end of the day, when you get to a point where you're super clear on your numbers, you're super simplified in your model, you've got one thing that you're offering, or maybe two, but you're best in class at this one, and then you're like working your way up on this other one, and you got a team that knows the numbers, and you got a team that knows their roles, and you got a director that knows the numbers, and an owner that knows the numbers, and a CPA that knows the numbers. Guess what? That business broker is going to come by, and when he knows the numbers, he's going to find you a great buyer at a high premium for a business that's simple, has data, right? Has the numbers right where they need to be, and you know, hopefully runs on systems, and the owner's not involved in the day to day.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you just created your retirement through the thing that you've been working on for 30 years, you know, because you did it the right way. And you had the hard conversations, and you made the out of fear. You know, everything you're going to do is like, it's tough. This isn't for the faint at heart, right? This is a real thing. You have to take this seriously. And there's going to be tough conversations all the way through this thing. But at the end of the day, if you have this, you're going to be so much better off than the people that didn't make the changes, decided to avoid the hard conversations, and their leases do, you know, end at December 31st, and they leave the keys on the front counter and they walk out that door with nothing. And unfortunately, that's a reality for some. So hopefully that's not you. You make the tough decisions now so that you can be better for it. If you need help in any of this stuff, guys, this is what we do. This is what we love to do. Link will be in the show notes. Brian said so on the last episode, so we'll make sure it's in there. Jump on a call. Book a call with us. You could get a chance to maybe talk to Randy or Zach, and then we'll jump in and help you guys. So that's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. All right, guys, that's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next one. Bye. If you enjoyed this episode and want to go deeper on this stuff, head on over to our YouTube channel. The podcast right here is where we have the conversations, but on the YouTube, we break down things much more in depth. We walk through real frameworks, real strategies, and systems that gym owners are using right now to build better businesses. Just search Gym Business Coach on YouTube or head on over to youtube.com/@TheGymBusinessCoach.com. Subscribe to the channel and I will see you over there.